Welcome in. It's Christmas weekend, basically, yeah. As you guys are listening to this.
Crazy. Yeah, I can't believe Christmas is here already. The last part of this year has flown by as it usually does, but happy to be here. Played some, I said this before on the podcast, I end up playing more disc golf in the winter than I do any other time, it seems like. I don't know why. Maybe just stuff slowed down a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, that is crazy because I feel like I almost try to do the exact opposite. I'll like still work on things and things like that because off season and you're not playing tournaments. Usually I'm not playing as many rounds, so I get the chance to work on more stuff, but that is like, I tried to do a disc comparison yesterday and even Star Plastic, like it was so cold for me that Star Plastic was just slippery. So yeah. What am I doing out here, guys?
I am having that issue that with my Eclipse Envies, which everyone knows I love. I'm having to switch them out for base plastic because they're just slipping out of my hand like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a Eclipse Reactor that I felt the same thing. I was like, can't throw that on forehand right now. Yeah. Backhand, it's fine. It's that forehand, that smaller point of contact definitely comes into play. But we know that Eclipse Plastic is pretty popular thanks to one of our presenting sponsors, Disc RPM. It's such a fun, they just continue to add more and more features as we are evolving. They are evolving with us. It's been kind of fun. Disc RPM doesn't exist just because of us, but I feel like it's a cool moment, Brad, to have influence on how the platform is developing. So some features that have been added recently that you guys may not have seen, and part of what's going to help us is we're looking through Disc RPM in order to see people that are in the bag community and a chance to find our guests. But they've added a feature. Not only can you add in your bag and pictures of your bag, that's super cool. Two other features I want to highlight real fast that they've added are, first, they've added distances. So in your profile, you can say how far, basically some of the similar questions we've been asking for the application to come on in the bag. So that as I'm going through looking for guests, we can say, oh, okay, that's a very interesting bag. I wonder how far they throw. And then that information is right there. So if you're listening, you're in the bag community, make sure you go back into your profile and update that information. And then the other is, you basically have your own personal Robbie C and ABB now, because if you have a spot or a gap in your bag, there's a new suggested disc feature that you can use that will allow you to, you can choose from like popular discs that are out there or discs that are just in the bag community that fill a similar slot to that. So I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah, very cool. I love all the stats. I love the tools. And again, as always, the thing that drew me in immediately was I love seeing everyone's actual discs. So it's truly free. We're over 500 members, so we're going to do a giveaway. And we'll figure it out. Stick around for the end of the episode. We will have the giveaway details in our sign-off. And I guess in the meantime, thank you, Disc RPM, for all the amazing work you're doing. It makes our life easier in the bag. Hopefully it makes your all's life easier and more fun being able to see your collection and others. So speaking of really cool discs, our guest today is a disc dyer, and he's actually local. He's a friend. So a friend of mine, friend of foundations, friend of the local disc golf scene here. Very happy to have him in. It's a different episode because, you know, we do a lot with beginners or people that have played about the same time as me, Robbie, but I know Gordon's been playing for quite some time, and just to prove that, you know, there are things you can continue to work on and continue to fine tune about your bag. And he does a lot of disc dyeing, and he has a lot of cool discs in his bag.
Yeah, excited to check him out. Let's bring him in. Welcome into In the Bag. Gordon, how you doing today, sir?
Doing good, Robbie. Thanks for having me, guys. Stoked to be on. So, yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. We'll give Gordon a chance to tag himself or plug some of his stuff at the end of the episode. But he does a podcast, not a disc golf podcast, but a Jets-based podcast, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
Smooth. The football or
the football, not the hockey, not the Winnipeg Jets. So yeah, the New York Jets football. So it's a sad life for me, but you know what? We have a good time doing it. So
yeah. So the crispy audio, the crispy video, you can thank his Jets podcast for that.
That's right.
I love it. As a Vikings fan, I subconsciously have to dislike the Jets because of the association with the devil himself, but that's okay. We move past it. So let's talk disc golf. We want people to get to know you. Gordon, we kind of teased it in our intro, but let's start off. How long have you been playing?
I've been playing I want to say for about 15, 16 years now, probably a good little while. Now, you know, I like to say that I've only been like seriously playing for the last, you know, like tournaments and things like that for the last 7 years. I mean, it's still a while, you know what I mean? But yeah, I've been playing for, you know, I grew up in Northern New Jersey, so played a lot in Warwick, New York, which is a big, there's the Warwick Championships every year. And then that's where Steve Brinster is from. So some decent courses up in that area. But again, back then it was one disc going out and playing, nothing too crazy. And then once I graduated college, kind of really wanted some more competition, and just kind of started playing some tournaments. So
I love it. That is awesome. I love it. There's just two different generations, and hearing like the length of time, looking at your bag, a lot of dots are going to start being connected here, guys. So I'm excited to kind of work through that.
Yes, sir.
As we continue. So if we put you in a field and we were like, all right, Gordon, you got to throw to a basket, controlled golf line, not once with a tailwind downhill and I tripped and that momentum helped me as well. I once got a disc here. Yeah. How far are we throwing backhand and forehand?
Backhand controlled at a basket, backhand maybe 350, probably like consistently, I would say.
Okay.
I mean, I could probably push it a little bit more, but it gets a little squirrely after that. Forehand, I gotta be honest, maybe 150, 200 feet, maybe.
Okay.
Forehand is something that like I have only developed within the last 2 years, started and really only started using in the last year out on the course. So
that is fascinating, especially as I'm looking at your bag.
I have forehand friendly discs, I suppose, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm just like, I'm going to have so many questions here as we go through because we'll get there. So very fascinating, especially because, you're in the Lynchburg area now.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I grew up in Northern New Jersey, moved down here in about 2009 and been here ever since. So.
Okay. Awesome. I transplanted to my city in about 2010. So, and been there ever since. So our disc golf journeys feel very, very similar, our Frisbee journeys in terms of, yeah. So I'm excited for this, putting. We put you on the putting green and we're like, yes, all right, sir. Gordon, you got 10 putts from 15 feet, 10 putts from 25 and 10 putts from 40 feet. How many are you making in each station?
15 feet. I'd like to say 10 out of 10. Right. But I mean, I'll probably go 9 out of 10 just for schitts and gigs there. And then let's see, 25 feet probably drop down to like maybe 5-6 just because, you know, it's a squirrely distance. Okay. And 40 feet, I'm going to be honest, probably 2 if I'm lucky.
Okay.
Probably 2 if I'm lucky. I used to do the Perfect Putt, right? The app. So I would have that. And there was a time where I was banging those 30 footers, never really went back to 40. But 40 footers are tough for me. I'm step putt is a little, you know, it's either too high or just to the right or something like that. So.
Yeah. And all it takes is one step putt where you miss big. And suddenly that putt gets real bad for the rest of the round because you're like,
all right, you hit the first one, you're feeling good though, you know? So
that's true. That it's a double edged sword for sure. All right, final question for like getting to know your game, Gordon, is always what would you say is the biggest strength of your game?
Anheuser approach shots, backhand Anheuser approach shots for me. I don't know if it's just, you know, I grew up throwing a lid with my cousin in the backyard. We would play a game where we just would throw back and forth and try and catch it and like see how many times we could throw and catch without the disc, without the lid hitting the ground. And we'd get up in the hundreds, 200s. And we would throw all different types of shots and backhand Anheuser's. For some reason, it feels right to me. So.
Okay. Yeah. When you said Anheuser at first, I was like, so this man doesn't have a forehand, but he throws Anheuser forehand approach it. But backhand Anheuser, I think, is an even spicier take because forehand Annies, I feel like a lot of people try to embrace that life. And then they're like, I don't have a forehand.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you exactly why that's the case. But and Heitzer backhands. Okay, that will open up other conversations as well. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about this. Gordon, you have a very beautiful back. I love the dies. We'll end up talking about those all throughout. And I know you recently helped out with the foundation video.
Yes,
doing the Uno?
The Uno cards. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that was a fun video.
That was great. It was fun dyeing those up. It was like cool, very cool concept putting them on there. So yeah, I was very happy to help and glad to see the reception was so good for it. So yeah.
Yeah, and if those of you don't know, Gordon does a bunch of dyes, Rad Dad dyes. We'll just let you shout that out at the end. But he also, pretty much any of the dyes that you see for sale in the foundation retail store here in Lynchburg, or even sometimes online, Gordon is primarily the dyer of those discs.
Yes, sir.
Come on. Well, Gordon, looking at your bag, man, links, putting with links, it looks putting like.
Yep.
But you also have embraced the link as a throwing putter as well.
Yeah. So the I'm a beaded putter guy. Love beaded putters. Used to putt with, I mean, the evolution of my putter has gone through a lot. Used to putt with, started out with Wizards. So obviously, you know, the beaded putter, right? The Wizard is the beaded putter, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So started out with Wizards, then moved to Avier drivers for a while and putted with Avier drivers. So my putting philosophy is like, I like to try to find a putter I can putt with, a putter I can throw some shorter approach shots with, and then just something that I feel comfortable in a few different molds. So the Avier driver was star plastic. I have a Champion one. And then, you know, obviously the DX Avier drivers, and then it moved to P1X. And then now I've settled on links I've been putting with the link for probably 3 years now. So.
Okay. Has the P1X made its way to New Innova yet? Or new Discraft or Discmania yet? Wow. That was hard to get to.
Not yet. They just released the P3X, the brand new P3X in the mystery boxes this past year, which I got. I mean, I didn't buy two mystery boxes, but I got two P3Xs because the P3X I've loved ever since. But the P1X, no, not yet. I believe P1X came out, I think the Arrow for Innova or the, not the Arrow. No, there was a newer Innova mold that I believe is the mold of the P1X. So,
okay. Interesting. Cause yeah, that's, Zero. Is it the Zero?
That's it. Yeah,
I was like, there was some weird one that came out with it. Everyone was like, why did you just drop this random putt? Okay. Yeah. Cause I have a friend who started playing around the same time as me and then quit playing regularly after about 5 years of us playing. And we started in 2012.
Okay.
And so he putts with P1Xs and I played with him a couple months ago and he like pulled out these P1Xs and I was like, whoa, dude, that's kind of like, I'm not going to say it's a pricey disc, but it's definitely not a like, oh, I'm going to find these at any shop I walk into right now.
I have X lines because the X line is the one that I keep in my bag now. That's my big, like backhand Anheuser, like one of like a flip up turnover kind of disc. And I bought a bunch of them, so I have a few backups. But then I do have some D line, and even the D line, like even beat up D lines are still selling for like $25-$30 because people want them. There's obviously the Simon factor, right? Like I actually have two of the blue bar stamp ones that he threw for a while. And I've sat on them for a while, but that's what I used to putt with. So that kind of brought the value up a little bit. You know what I mean? So,
So if you're a beaded putter guy going to links, the world of microbeat. How's that?
It's not bad. I don't know what it is. I think I like any bead, right? I like big beads, smaller beads. Something about the bead is just a softer edge on my finger. So when I putt, I kind of, sometimes I'll curl it under. Most of the time I have my finger like out on the putter. So like my middle finger will be curling in underneath it a little bit. And that just feels good with the release.
Yeah.
And then when I throw, I'm a power grip pretty much most of the time when I'm throwing approach, big shot. So when I throw my putters, I like it to be under, you know, not sharp. But with that being said, as we progress through, I have recently bagged a Sensei and that's not a beaded putter.
Yeah, we can honestly just jump right there because I'm a big fan of the sensei personally. Someone asked me what my favorite Dismania disc was, and I think I ended up on the sensei and then had to correct to the origin or not the origin. Yeah, to the origin because I was like, oh, that's fair. It's definitely, I throw that way more. But the sensei, what do you like about the sensei?
So, I mean, you know, it's fairly new. Got it from a friend and just kind of threw it around. I was looking for, you know, the P3X is a little bit more overstable. So I was looking for a throwing putter that I can just throw essentially dead straight, right? Like a little bit of turnover, but then rely on it and not just kind of keep turning or going to the right backhand. And the sensei was that disc for me. I actually, am I like third round playing with it, I got an ace at Peaks View. So it was fate, just stayed in the bag. And again, I'm sure as it beats in, it'll change obviously, but right now it's still fairly new. So it's what I throw off the tee if I'm looking for a straight shot or something like that. So
what is making you choose a sensei off the tee versus your link that you throw?
So the link, good question. Just weird things in my brain. The links that I have in my bag are a little bit more beat in. So I'll sometimes try them off the tee, but they'll continue to turn to the right. The sensei is just that new, and the Lux link, I don't throw very often because I feel like it is a big, it's a little bit more overstable than I anticipated. So it's a lot of overlap with my P3X. And the P3X is going to win that battle every single time. But yeah, something about the sensei, it's shallow where sometimes with the bead, disc can get a little thick. So off the tee, I do kind of like the shallowness of it. But yeah, again, just kind of probably something just in my brain. You know what I mean? No real reason. Well,
Robbie talks about subconscious confidence all the time. I think that's comes into play there. Obviously, you obviously feel more confident with the sensei to do what you want it to do, that straight with like a little bit of finish.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes complete sense.
So keeping the P3X vibe going, I want to talk about the tactics that are in the bag because technically, although they are mid ranges, I doubt you're throwing them like mid ranges.
So I have the Razor Claw 3, just beef utility. If I need a big like spike hyzer, like a shorter spike hyzer through the woods, lot of big scramble disc, obviously in the wind, I'll use it, but I mean, it's beefy. I love it. And then the extra soft tactic I've thrown, I tried the hard when I first got it, was not a fan of the hard tactic. Love the soft. I don't know what it is. And then these are the ones that were on sale in Euro. So the like the extra soft Euro ones before the, like with the money, with the European Open stamp on them. They're just gummy. They remind me a lot of Jawbreaker zones when a Jawbreaker zone beats in and you get that waviness that, you know, but it still holds its flight somehow. And then it just sticks to the green. It doesn't roll very much, where the Razor Claw 3, I feel, will sometimes skip or even roll a little bit. The extra soft will just land and stay there. So
now, if I remember when this was 2021, I want to say. So the tactic, I believe, was fairly newer at that time when I was trying them out. End of 2020, started 2021. And I was looking at overstable approach disc before the pig had truly ended up in the bag. My top three were the tactic, the pig, and the A2.
Yeah.
I recently threw the A2 in comparison. I don't know how I ever thought that those were the same disc, because it was disgusting how overstable it was. And in a great way for Prodigy fans, don't come after me. Like put pitchforks down, people. But the tactic, I remember, because I know you mentioned the hard. There was the hard and the soft originally because they hadn't come out with the premiums yet. And I remember, the softs were actually more overstable than the hards as well, right?
100%. And that, so apparently that reigned true with a lot of that, that trilogy plastic. Like I know the soft justices are some of the more overstable justice runs. It's funny how that works, but yeah, the soft, that's also what kind of lent me to is that's what I was looking for, an overstable approach putter, or like super overstable, and the hard just wasn't doing it for me. So I got the the soft. And then when the extra soft came out, was super excited to try that. So
yeah, because the P3X, was it in the bag already at that point?
Yeah, P3X was in the bag at that point. And the P3X goes through, like, I have S-line, C-line, glow. I just love the glow plastic. So they kind of cycle through. But right now we're rocking with the glow. So,
okay. Yeah. So that would make sense looking for or needing that extra overstable, because semi-overstable.
Mm-hmm. Already have.
You have. Yeah. There. It's literally written. I think another fun feature, if you guys, I learned this when Gordon came in, is Brad was like, oh, Gordon has disc notes written down. And I was like, cool. Did he text them to you? Like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And no. And disc RPM, you could just put in notes right next to the discs. Who knew? Apparently everyone in this call except for me. So what a fun time. But really makes this quite handy. So heading up to mid ranges,
yes, sir.
You've got quite a few in the bag, and our first diversion away from Discmania.
And the only diversion.
Yeah, Discmania and Innova, I guess you can say, because the Innova. P1X Innova, but like Discmania made Innova, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Verdix.
Yeah.
What about the Verdix drew you in?
It's funny that I think I was watching your last show and you kind of said that, like, hipster, what'd you say? The hipster, like, vibe of, like, not wanting to go with the cool thing. Right. And I mean, I've tried the MD3 and the MD4 and just not a big fan. And I know a lot of Discmania people are going to, like, shudder at that, but I'm not spending the, you know, at the time when I was getting into, you know, really building my mid range game, I wasn't spending three-figure, you know, 100, 150, 100 bucks for a Glow Eagle MD3, which was apparently the best run. And I mean, I found the Rock 3, but the Verdict, I was looking for an overstable mid, tried the MD4. I tried to like it. I really did. And it just wasn't overstable enough for me. And again, maybe I was just going through some form things at the time and just wasn't releasing it correctly or whatever, but found the Verdict from, you know, my friend John Barker throws them, and then Benuel throws is a big DD, was at the time throwing some DD mid ranges, and just fell in love with the Verdict. I don't know what it is. I it's a disc that feels really comfortable forehand for me. When I do throw a forehand, I can throw it backhand. I love flat discs, and Verdicts tended to be flat, at least the runs that I like. So yeah, that one that stayed in, and I have the Fusion X. And then I looked for the Lucid X Chameleon. It was a 2021 run from Chris Clemens, where they had the zombies, like the glow. They were zombie faces on them. And that one's just like super beefy. That one will come in the bag if I know I'm playing a windy course or a long course where I need a beefy mid range. So the Fusion X is always in the bag, but the Lucid X Chameleon kind of, again, cycles in and out when I need the beefy mid range. So. Mm-hmm.
So were these also the Lucid X Chameleons that had did you find flat ones? Cause I know for a while there was the ones that had like the little spaceship top.
Yeah. They do have a little bit, the blue ones I have found are a little bit flatter, but they definitely do have, like this weird pop top right in the middle. Like you said, almost like a UFO. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I had one of the purple Lucid Chameleon ones, and I was like, I mean, it does what I want it to. It is so overstable.
And there are certain runs that are more flat than others. And yeah, so this one is just luckily one of the more flat ones for me. But
okay, so MD, you have an old going to the opposite side of the spectrum. Yeah. I feel like you got an MD D-line. MD. D-line, yeah. So this feels like a disc that has some stories behind it.
I've similar. So I kind of equate it to my P1X, right? My understable, if I need an extra little bit of distance. It was those two discs probably kept me, the P1X and the MD probably kept me from learning a forehand for so long. Just because I didn't need it. I didn't need a forehand approach because I knew I could throw a backhand, throw them flat, and it's gonna follow that shorter Anheuser line that a forehand would for the Heiser. You know what I mean? But I mean, that's its cycle. You know, that not cycled, but like I've put in once it gets too beat in. But honestly, when I'm looking at that and what I'm using it for, it really doesn't get too beat in. So I had one that I gave away to a kid out on a course one time, and then this just kind of cycled through. Now, again, these were, I knew when the whole Innova thing happened with Discmania, and then now, you know, now they're over in Sweden, right? Yeah, so Sweden, they were stopping molding them. So I have a few backups of those as well. I try to, you know, I don't want to say I'm a hoarder, but kind of a hoarder because discs I like, I want to be able to keep and throw for a while. So
The note on your MD1 says just about any shot you need.
Yeah, and that MD1, the Mindbender. Mm-hmm. So I used to throw a Luster MD. I like to try to throw different plastics of the same mold. So I have the D-Line MD, and then I had the C-Line Luster MD. But then when the Mindbender came out, I tried that, and it, for some reason, just like was more consistent than that Luster MD for me. I can throw it on backhands. It's going to Anheuser and then pan out a little bit. I can throw it on, you know, softer hyzers. It's going to follow that. So that MD1 is just, I love that disc. Yeah. Just about anything I can throw within like 250 to 300, maybe even 350 if I'm pushing it out a little bit. But yeah, it'll move and it'll go. So
have you tried the Origin?
I have. When it first came out, I tried it. And then again, it was just at the time didn't beat my MD out of the bag. So I mean, I had it for a little bit, and I've tried to throw cycle in and out, but, I've been fairly set on the MD. So it does have a bead though. So I do like that. But
so something I'm noticing, I mean, there's a couple things I noticed about your bag overall, but sticking with like kind of your mid-range approach game, there is a very big gap between like your very neutral, you don't have, if anyone's looking visually on the screen, you're going to see the MD and the MD1 are like on that very neutral, like zero line. And you don't really have anything past that on the right-hand side. Really to me, the Origin's probably closer to like that one square, maybe. Like it's understable, but it does, until you really beat it in a neoplastic, it does have a little finish to it. So is there a reason you choose to either go like extremely understable or extremely overstable, and you don't really work anything in between in your mid-range and approaches?
No real reason. I think looking at that, like with mid-range, I would say the MD1 is pretty close to that, but then the Rock 3 at this point is kind of beat into that little bit of spot. So I would put that Rock 3 not at a 3 stability right now. It's, I mean, the, you know, the two times and things like that are a little bit more overstable. But the I have that beat into the point where it's probably that 2. Not really. And I feel like I get that shot or that slot depending on how I throw the disc. No real reason to kind of lack that. You know what I mean? I think I starting out threw a lot of overstable discs. Just threw them hard. You know, gripped them and ripped them. And then that kind of stuck with me for a while, and then, you know, again, learning to refine my game a little bit, tried some flip up things. So that's probably why I went a little bit more with the understable stuff to try and learn that flip up. So that could be, you know, thinking about that could be a reason as to why I kind of have that gap there.
Because something we talk about a lot, and it's something I'm just trying to decide what camp I live in. Cause for a while I've lived in the camp of, okay, I need to like, basically my mid-range category grew from like one disc to like six, and I'm really just trying to cover all of those shots, and I'm trying to throw everything like relatively flat, or my natural release is kind of a baby hyzer now, so I'm like, okay, that's my go-to release now. I need stuff like, I'm going to use the disc to get the flight versus changing my angle, because I'm just not like that skilled or that accurate yet with like altering my angles. Do you find, since you are like you've been playing a while, do you feel like you have better angle control, and maybe that's maybe why you don't need all of that coverage?
Yeah. And I think that's kind of, you know, learning to control the angle was something that I struggled with for a while. But now I've gotten better at it. So I think that's kind of where I've landed now. I try to cover again, multiple, you know, same disc, but multiple, plastics. And that kind of helps me, you know, determine like, hey, if I need really overstable, I'm gonna go with this one. Really understable, going to go with this one, and then just kind of, you know, turn my wrist a little bit and or, you know, probably shouldn't do that form wise, right? But either lean back or lean forward a little bit more to get a little more Anheuser or hyzer. So
Do you like, if you're like, hey, this is definitely a mid-range kind of a shot and I need like a pushing hyzer, but I don't need it to dump out. Are you like, okay, I'm going to get my Rock 3 and I'm going to give it a little Anheuser, or are you like, I'm going to grab my MD1 and give it quite a bit of hyzers to push?
Probably the Rock 3. If I'm looking for a straight shot, probably the Rock 3. The MD1 turns a little bit more. And again, I could, yeah, like you said, could throw it on the baby hyzer, but I think again, it just comes in that one comes in like the Rock 3 has been in my bag for a long time. Probably one of the longer standing discs if I'm looking at it. So yeah, probably just again, comfortability with the mold and you know, what I'm looking for. So yeah, I would say Rock 3 on a flatter release.
Okay. Mm. That makes sense. I'm just curious as I'm kind of starting from scratch almost for my mid ranges. So I'm just like, I'm just trying to decide where I want to land. And I don't know if there's a right or a wrong way. It's just like, you know, do I just become a big boy and like do some field work and get some angle control? Or do I continue on the path of like, let's just get a good form in general. And then like, let's let the disc do the work for a minute and then we'll get to angle control afterward. So
there was a time where I did not believe in field work. I thought I could go out on the course and just be like, I'm going to work on it while playing. And that's going to work. And it made me angry. And I was like, you know what? Nope. I live right next to a field now. So I go out and throw in the field from time to time. And that certainly helped. But yeah, it took me a while to get to field work. It took me a long time to get there.
Mm-hmm. So I look at this and I have a student, his name's Wes, who, we tried to work on a forehand for him and I was like, okay, I want you to grab all the flippy stuff you have in your bag and I want you to take it out. I want you to throw them on hyzers. It's my typical, like, you're going to learn how to throw a forehand, throw a bunch of spike hyzers with forehands. And he was like, all right, cool. I'll grab all my flippy stuff. And his flippy stuff, yeah, quotations there, was about where yours is, like on the dead center neutral line. And he was like, okay, No, it's all flippy. And I was like, in comparison to super overstable stuff, yeah, Yes, this is flippy, but this is not a naturally flippy disc. So I can see, Brad, what you're saying there in terms of like, it's nice to say, oh, I want a disc to turn over. This disc wants to turn over. And so I'd be curious, that old MD that you gave away, did you find that it was beating into that like, that old or that really flippy option for you?
Yeah, and that's it. That D-line MD is like super flippy for me. Now again, it's beat in, so it has gotten there. But that's what I use it for. If I throw it flat, if I throw it hard and flat, it's gonna just turn and burn right away. But if I throw it, it has to be a little bit more subtle and kind of touch shots for it. And again, or not, or I'm throwing it on hyzer and letting it flip up and even continue to turn if I need carry more distance with it. So
yeah, so I think for me it comes down to what your preferred release angle is where you land on that side of the coin, Brad, personally. Mm-hmm. Like if you like a little hyzer naturally, which like I live in that camp, Hunter's in that camp, you're in that camp now, that like having more understable stuff like an origin makes a lot of sense, because then we can get that turn out of it without like, it's still a usefulness. Whereas if you're more of a flat release person like Trevor, I'd imagine Trevor's bag is going to look a lot closer to this because of a natural flat to natural anti release. Yeah. Same thing when we have people come in now, like if we have people in our local shop, the Diamond is a disc we recommend quite often. But if I were to say, hey, we have like a little throwing area now, I'm like, before we like start recommending discs, if you're brand new, why don't you just go throw a couple times? So we hand them tech disc, they throw, and it's like, oh, you have like naturally 6 degrees of Anheuser. I'm not going to recommend a Diamond for you, even if you throw so slow, because as soon as you start increasing that hand speed at all, that Diamond is just going to be useless, kind of a deal. So I could see, I see that side of it. If you find yourself living in that camp, I would say, or you're questioning, ask yourself, what if I were to throw my ideal angles, what are they, and record it? Because there are times, like I think Brad for a long time had an Anheuser release and you were like, yeah, but I throw on hyzer. And we were all like, no, you don't. Like you throw on Andy, brother. And so then he plays in the video and there it is, like Anheuser releases. So we can think we know our shot, but yeah. looking at it can be huge. Instincts.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's fun because you're like five and then the instincts are living on their own island in the bag. Right. Yep. And then we just launch into the drivers. So
fairway game is not very big. Those two instincts kind of cover a lot for me. The Neo is again, a beat in one. So a little bit more turny, flippy. I used to throw a Luster FD, again, as like a super understable. I found it to be understable for me. But the instinct kind of, again, I would find myself not getting consistent shots with the FD. So I kind of, once the instinct came out, that was it for me. And that, again, one of those where I think instinct is probably rivaling my Rock 3 collection at this point. I have every mold and every plastic that they've come out with it, except for the Royal Rage 2. Don't have any Royal Rage 2s, but I didn't like it. So, but yeah, I throw the Neo and the Lux right now. Again, Neo is going to be flippier, where the Lux is going to live on that overstable side of it a little bit. So.
Did they make any, were the instincts any of the stones in the new box? Yes, so
actually the dark stone is a sea line instinct.
Interesting.
So I'm very, very excited about a stiffer, mild dome, nothing too crazy. I actually have one down in a dye bed right now in the garage. So yeah, I got one of those. That was what I was very excited for. I was excited for the P3X, this mystery box run, and then the sea line instinct. So.
Yeah, yes. That's crazy. I like when they, as a geek, the idea of collecting the stones was incredible. Super cool. And I'm not even a Dismaniac. Like I throw very little Dismania, and I'm with you. Like haters are going to come at me, but I don't like the MD3 at all.
Yeah, I was not a fan. I found it to be inconsistent. I threw some S lines. I threw some C lines. I just, for some reason, didn't like it. And I, again, at that point, I had had the Rock 3 for so long, and I heard everybody talk about the MD3. So I said, you know what? I'll try it. It just didn't kick the Rock 3 out of the bag. And maybe it's that, you know, that one time, two time magic that I got with the Rock 3s. But
I think my problem with it, because I don't particularly like the MD3 either. My problem with the MD3 is the same problem I have with the Meteor from Discraft. They just feel huge, like width wise. I mean, they fit fine in my hand, but like width wise, they just seem gigantic. And it's probably subconscious. Like it's probably not really a huge difference, but I pull one out. I'm like, this is a wide disc. I feel the same with the Meteor. It doesn't fit well in my bag. It's like my other discs are like leaning into it. And I just don't like that.
Didn't know so I had my Condor out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's not quite
Halo
that bad,
Condors but, coming soon. Don't you worry, guys.
Yeah,
if we got Halo Zephyrs, we're going to get Halo Condors. We're going to get Halo Makanis. And then one day when Dave Dunapace is no longer with us, we might get Halo Picks.
Yeah.
Might. But we got to make more Halo. You're going to get Halo Zeros before you get.
That's right. You probably will.
Halo Picks. If I were a betting man, I'd smash that bet all day. So,
yeah.
Speaking of old Dave, continuing in the infinite world,
yeah,
you've got Dynasties, which,
yes,
what a cool disc.
I love it. So the Dynasty was, again, you know, I used to throw CD2s. The Dynasty, to my knowledge, is the CD2 mold, essentially. And the one that came out first was the S Blend, so I have that, and that is super flippy. I treat the Dynasty, again, that 9-speed, I treat that as like that is like the hybrid, right? So I'll throw that if I need like a further fairway throw, or, you know, or a little bit, more overstable kind of shorter fairway throw. But the S line, the S blend, the Halo. So in order of overstability to less stable, the Halo is the most overstable. The Glow C is brand new in the bag because I lost a Metal Flake color glow, which was a straight, more straight shot. And then the S Blend is flippy. So,
okay. So the Halo and the C Blend kind of filling the same slot right now, only because one's brand new.
Yeah. Yep. So, not the, from what I found, and maybe it's just in my head, right? But like the Glossy is not as overstable as the Halo. The Halo is a little bit more domey, so that kind of works into it to that advantage as well, where the C blend, the Glossy is a little more flat. So
yeah. Now, when you're as someone who you have molds there, it seems like you've got a lot of comfort shots in the bag, because a lot of these discs have been in your bag for a long time. I think that's always fascinating, because there are lots of players who, like, I feel like Hunter and Trevor could do an in the bag every single month and it would be different. Single month. And you'd be like, all right, cool. Connor, funny enough, I feel like is not really that way. Like, his bag stays pretty true. And then there's like some fun new mold that works its way in. But like, someone asked me to do an in the bag in 2023 and I was like, go watch my in the bag from 2022. It pretty much is the exact same. It feels like you're in a similar boat. So for this Glow C blend, when you're trying to get it back to that state, what are you doing to get it back to that state? Anything special?
Not really. I try to just throw it. I won't say like I like bend it, right? But like when I take it out, I'll kind of like manipulate it in my hands a little bit. Yeah, exactly. You know, kind of twist it a little bit. And then mostly just try to force it to the shot that I want, which probably yields some bad results from time to time. But sometimes I will try to force that shot. But just throw it to get it there. Sometimes if I'm doing practice rounds, I'll go out and just throw it a few times and on shots that I wouldn't normally throw it, just so it hits the ground and kind of beats up a little bit more. You know what I mean? But
Brad, how about you? If you had, let's say your envy, that's not an envy, you lost it and you're like, oh no, I've got to replace this ASAP. Mm-hmm. What are you doing with the new one?
Like, to get it to where it needs to be?
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean, I'm probably just like taking it out on my next round. And I did this with another envy. I literally just, okay, hole one, all right, there's my normal shot. Hole two, what's the nearest tree? Okay, I'm smashing it into that tree. Hole two, what's the nearest tree? Smash it into that tree. Just try to get, because I mean, for that particular disc, it is just so warped and disgusting and beat up that torture is the only way to get it back to where it needs to be. Mm. Now, I am trying to replace discs in my bag that I do not have to do that to. I don't want to have, we call them the cryptid discs, where it's just not even the same disc anymore, basically. I don't want to be that guy. So, but I mean, I've been known to do that to a few envies.
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe an inner core or two, just to get it like a little extra flippy.
That's fair. Consistent flippy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a big fan of the second shot method. Like, of, I'm either going to go play a couple one disc rounds, like, cause I feel like driver's a little tougher for sure. Because of that stiffness of the thickness of the rim and things like that. But I mean, you play 3 1 disc rounds with just that Dynasty.
Yeah.
And especially you go play, you could go play Peak View Shorts and you're still going to be hitting things, especially in the back. Cause you got throw. So like, if you went aggressive on the back Peak View, you could still smash a lot of trees.
You can hit some trees. Yeah.
That's
the other strategy, and this is the lazy strategy, is like, I don't think I throw any molds that are super like rare or hard to find. It's like every once in a while they just like roll in here into the use bin and someone's already done the work for me.
Which there you go.
I prefer that method. And that's why I do like the bash on trees method. I'm not patient enough to be like, all right, so take me a month to season this in and get it where I want to. So I'm just gonna go out and throw this disc a few times. Like, I'm just not patient enough for that.
A while ago, I thought about what is something that you could enter like or invent in disc golf that would help, or like a lot of things. Like, I've heard people throw them in dryers, right? And then at one point I had heard there was someone that you could send your disc to and they'll beat it in for you and then send it back to you. Now again, obviously you have a lot of trust in someone, right? But like, I don't like thinking of a way to beat in discs, right? So like a machine that you could put it in that would just move it around, or, you know, I don't know, just throw it in a jugs machine and let it hit a tree or two few times, you know?
Yeah. Got to be careful putting that on the internet though. I posted a video during Vlogmas, talking about, because you talk about, you love flat discs. I love flat discs as well. And so pigs, especially if you buy factory second pigs, are the most domey pigs that come out.
Yeah.
And I don't like that dome on them. So I have a method that I use to de-dome pigs. And so I boil it and I like, I put it in hot water. Then I flip it upside down, put some weight on top of it, and I leave it there for 12 hours. And the internet was not happy with me.
I've been known to do that sometimes. So some of those verdicts we talked about earlier, I've done that. And then some like fairways and drivers and things like that. But yeah, people don't like when you do that. People don't like manipulating discs like that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So I imagine if you were like, oh, I have this machine that beats in discs for you, people would be like, whoa, bro, whoa.
Yeah.
PGA would love doing? It, yeah, but well, they'd also be a little
here,
upset.
Pump the brakes here.
Hot take. What is the difference between doing that and me going out and intentionally hitting it and deforming it against trees?
You didn't put it on the internet.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly true. I just did. My bad. Yeah.
If like, that's the crazy thing to me, Brad, about this whole, like, when people are like, it's just not natural beating in a disc. All right. So you walk up, we both get on the tee box, and I grab this pig and I throw it on a forehand, and someone picks it up and tosses it to me later because I left it like behind, and they toss it to me. Are they going to look at me and be like, hold on, wait a minute? And they flip it over and they look and they're like, this tasting it. This pig was run in 2022 March. These were domey pigs. What? What dirty, rotten cheater. You have removed the dome from this pig. Disqualify this man. But then Brad walks up and he has this envy in his hands that is just warped to all get out. And I'm like, do you think that's how that came out? And they're like, no, man, that's natural. That's natural.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
We both modified the disc because we wanted a flight out of it. Like this MD, a D-line MD was never designed to be the flippy disc that Gordon has in his back, but it beat like, it just, it's fascinating, guys. It's fascinating. It's for some reason, some hill that I keep finding. I don't want to die on this hill, but I feel like there's a firing squad waiting at the side of the hill and I can't get off of it. Like that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
What a time. Okay. FD3. Sorry. Little rant there. You guys weren't ready for a little ranty rant.
Yeah. And then FD3. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just saying like FD3, the stamp looks sick on this.
Yeah. Or so is that a die? Again, one of the older mystery box runs, I think I want to say it was like 2019. When they had the Eagle and Simon like geometric faces on there, 2019, 2020, maybe. And that's a C line. That one that's kind of stayed out of the bag for a little bit. I had some Color Glow FD3s, that I actually got from Hunter a little while back, like when Hunter had some, got some from him, and that just kind of popped in the bag. Again, overstable, super overstable, more overstable than the Dynasty. So just use that for, and a big forehand disc for me. I learned to throw my forehand with overstable discs, which is not the right way to do it. So I've tried to throw in some instincts and things like that, but the FD3 is one of my big forehand discs. So,
and then the FD3 and the PD are very similar, just a little bump up in speed. What keeps all three of those discs in the bag for you?
As far as FD3 and PD kind of being similar, like I said, I don't really throw the FD3, I would say, on full power. So when I'm looking for a more, like a further shot, so probably, I mean, I guess, you know, probably 350 and plus, if I'm looking to kind of get out or on some bigger hyzers, I'll throw that, the Glow PD, like the Dark Maul 2, super flat, board flat, beefy. And then the Dark Maul 1, I have found at this point, is kind of beat in, so it'll fly straight for a while with a pretty reliable finish. That one's come into the bag fair. Like that one I got in one of like I belong to some Discmania pages, so I do a Secret Santa, and that one I got in a Secret Santa, and I never knew what the hype was with the Dark Maul 1, and now I know 100% that when it gets beat in, it is gorgeous. A little bit of turn, slightest bit, but never going to turn over, and then just flies straight for days. Mm-hmm. So
that makes sense. And then we're jumping up the drivers.
And then we're there. Yeah.
And then we're there.
So, yeah, obviously have a DD3. I mean, I feel like any Discmania person that plays regularly, like DD3 is probably going to be in their bag of some variety.
Yeah.
Now you do have a Cloudbreaker 1 and then a new C line. So brand obviously, I'm going to guess you're probably like, okay, my DD through my Cloudbreaker 1's awesome. It's probably getting flippy and I need something that like has some stability if I had to guess.
So honestly, reverse it. So the Cloudbreaker really? One is still a little bit overstable for me. So I would say the newer C line is a little bit flippier for me. If I want to try and get big distance, I'm probably throwing the C line, just cause I can flip it up a little bit more. But if I'm looking for control and, placement, the Cloudbreaker again, just cause it's, you know, it's been in my bag for so long, I'm comfortable with it. Where's that C line? Now that C line may get to that point, but I'm not there just yet. But yeah, the Cloudbreaker one, has been in my bag since it came out. I got that from Mike Kemp when he, you know, he's a retailer. So I got that from him and I lost it for a while. I lost it at Sandusky playing Safari one day. And then Kenny Palmer actually pulled it out of the lake at Venhorst for me. And wow. I got it back. Yeah. Funny how that happens, right? With my number still on the back.
Yeah. But, hey, public service announcement here. If there's a disc that has a name on it, just call. A number, just call. Or go to your local store. They probably know the person or can have a lost and found. So please be a good human. It usually works out for you. Just be a good human.
I'm still a believer that not even living in the state, that someone's gonna squid the whole one at Independence one day. And I'm getting a call and I'm getting that destroyer back. It's gonna be fantastic.
It'll be here. Kenny will do it. He brings them by about once a year.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean it. I went waiting for it because that was, you know, again, that was a big disc in my bag. So when I lost it, I was upset and I went waiting for it. I swam and looked to try and find it. Somebody else found it and I got it back eventually though. So
die on the DD3, Air Temple or just swirls?
Just a Triskele swirl. Not necessarily Air Temple. Is that from Avatar, The Last Airbender, though?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So now I'm going to say that because I love that show. So now I'm going to say that. But yeah, just like an old-fashioned Irish Triskele. So
I love it. Okay. So last disc that we haven't talked about feels like a pretty straightforward option, the PD2.
Beefcake. Mm-hmm. When I need the beef. When I windy, if I need a super, you know, just when I need a super overstable disc, that's what I'm reaching for. Mainly utility and mainly only comes out when I need wind. I don't have the largest of fingers. So like 12 speed and like for some reason, DD3 feels a little bit different. I know it's the same speed. DD3 just fits in my hand a little bit better. So the PD2 is really wide, but I will never throw like a 13 speed or higher just because I don't like the way it fits in my hand. So,
yeah. So final question for me before we jump into the disc, Brad, unless you have another one as well, is I'm thinking of when you first said, okay, so I throw 300, 350 on a controlled backhand.
Yeah.
150, 200 for a forehand. So thinking of shot shapes there in my mind, are you right-handed?
Yeah.
So you've got a hole that is like 300 feet, but moves to the right pretty much the whole time. What are you throwing there? I was trying to think of like a specific example that y'all feet have.
Moves to the right, probably Halo my Dynasty. S-Blend Dynasty.
Okay. Oh, S-Blend. That's close.
Yeah. So I'll probably, and maybe even that Glow C-Blend, after I get a little bit more comfortable with it, throw that on a little Annie and let it kind of flatten out. Where the S-Blend, I would probably either do a flip up and continue to carry or throw it flat and then just continue to carry, depending on the severity of the dog leg. So.
Okay. Cool. That was my thought is when I initially looked at the numbers and I didn't see show or disc notes, I was like, I don't know how this man's getting to the right. That is tough. But no, that makes a ton of sense.
Painfully getting there.
But hopefully we have an option here. Brad, you tried two discs.
I did. Yeah. I don't know that these are the right discs. I think one of them has potential to be.
Okay.
I'll be honest. After I looked at the bag, I expected you to throw like 500 feet, Gordon. So I was...
Controlled. I mean, I can throw far. I can throw 500 feet, but controlled, I would say probably 350. You know what I mean? So, okay. I mean, I can, thinking
you know,
here.
You know how I know you can throw far is because you're humble about how far you can throw. That's how I know you can throw far. Yeah. 350 controlled. Yeah. And that tells me someone knows how far 350 really is. It's a long ways, guys. It's a long ways.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then maybe I feel a little bit better after that statement. Okay. So I tried to diss out because you did share one thing with me, Gordon. You said, hey, I am trying to work on the distance on my forehand.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, Gordon's played a lot longer. His form's probably immensely better than mine, but I like throwing the lift. That's like my main forehand disc. I get the most distance out of it. But the theory behind it is it's just flippy enough that I'm high as a release on my forehand. It's just flippy enough that I can get to flip up and go straight and push before it finishes. It still has a good overstable finish to it because it is technically, I mean, it's stable. So it does have a good overstable finish, but I can also chop a little Anheuser, like a little Anheuser on it, and I can get it to come back to straight probably. Or I can put a lot of Heiser on it. It's not just going to dump on me. I can still get the push. So I try to go into this with the same theory for you, but just maybe with like a bigger arm or someone who has like better form. So have you thrown the Paradigm?
The Paradigm, is that from, no, I have not.
Okay.
I threw the Enigma for a little while. But I have not thrown the Paradigm yet.
Okay, so Paradigm, I threw the Paradigm, and I threw the Mystere from Innova.
Ooh, okay.
Halo Mystere. So I picked these specific discs for, and this is a little more tactical than we usually do. Usually it's like, hey, like let's just throw like these two and these type of plastics. So this Primal Run, I believe, and I might be making this up, I believe I heard it's flippier. For me, it was like very, it was pretty straight when I threw it on backhand.
Okay.
With a decent finish on it. But I initially picked up the Enigma and I was like, this is not the right disc. And I don't know why I was just feeling it. And I remember this had like maybe a little more flip, but still had the overstable finish that you're going to want. And I figured if we're talking beforehand, it needs to be kind of flat or remotely flat. Yeah. And you see the profile on this one. I mean, my camera, it's like pretty flat. This particular run is, I don't know. I can't speak for the other ones. So I knew you're a Discmania guy. So I'm like, let's try the Paradigm.
Yeah.
And then with a Mystere, it feels really good. Every time I pick it up, it just feels really good. It's an 11 speed and a 6 glide, -2.2. The Paradigm, I'm actually have to look up because I forgot what the Paradigm is. But anyway, I wanted that same kind of like feel that my lift gives me, but in like a flat, a faster,
a little bit further.
Yeah. Yeah. The Paradigm's 12.6, -1.52.
Okay.
So again, has a little bit of turn, but it's almost guaranteed to fade for you at the end. So we usually go on a feel test. So like in the hand, honestly, the Mystere feels better for me in my hand. The Mystere is definitely a little flatter for that like good forehand feel. I feel like I can tuck it way back in my hand, which I like. Mm-hmm. Not that I can't with the Paradigm. The Paradigm just has like a little bit of a bevel that just, again, it's fine, but I do notice it. Whereas the Mystere just kind of smoothly fits all the way back in my hand, which is kind of nice. So feel, as far as what wins on the feel, the Halo Mystere wins on the feel test for me. So that's where we're on feel, Robbie. What are you thinking on the field test? What do you want to ask me for Gordon's sake?
Yeah, on the field test.
Not the feel, the field.
Yeah. Tricky for the audio listener. Honestly, for all listeners, unless you got subtitles on. Mm-hmm. But I would say, so you're used to the lift, Heiser release. How flat could you, because I'm looking at the discs that Gordon has in his bag for forehand right now, predominantly all over stable discs. So I would assume that you're not necessarily too often throwing some pure Heiser forehands just because like those would be really, they would just not go anywhere.
Yeah.
So a lot of flat to Anheuser releases. So for these two discs, Brad, I want to hear how they flew like on your typical release and then how flat could you get them before they started like having a little too much movement to the left. Mm-hmm.
So honestly, I could go Anheuser on both of them and not have to worry about them turning and burning or anything.
Okay.
Again, and I think Robbie, you've seen my forehand enough and you call me out if this is wrong. I think I can safely get my forehand out to 250. I'm very comfortable there, maybe even on a good day a little farther. Controlled 250, though. Do you feel like that's accurate, yeah, Robbie, or shorter absolutely. Than that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, even with like that power, I'm focusing more on like a smooth release. I'm not like crow hopping and just chucking it. I'm just like kind of taking like a gentle step and like making sure my elbow's tucked and just trying to smooth it out. But yeah, on my like normal highs release, I do with a lift. When I lift, like I said, will pop, like flip up. No, I can't get either one of these to flip up with my forehand. Now flat, I could get them to carry pretty straight. None of them was, neither one of them would turn with like a true flat release. Now on Anheuser, I will say that I'm really just trying to think about all the shots I threw, but because really like giving a little bit of Anheuser, it almost didn't want to take a little bit. I had to give it like a little extra, but like, I mean, I'm talking like, okay, here's flat. I'm talking about like maybe right here, like not quite axe chop, but like halfway there. And I could get both of them to like turn a little bit and they would both come back. I would say the Mystere probably gave me the most S like flight versus the Paradigm. The Paradigm, even if I gave it Anheuser, would hit that. It would take that input and then like kind of want to immediately correct back into the right. Whereas the Halo Mystere would kind of give me that nice big S, which I did throw the Halo Mystere farther every time I threw it. Backhand, forehand, it did not matter, just for whatever reason. Again, it is an 11 speed, and that there's something to say about that because it is closer to my arm speed. Therefore, I'm going to throw farther. I feel comfortable with 11 speed for whatever reason, getting up to that 12 speed mark. Forehand doesn't bother me as far as feel, but like I really can tell my arm speed like when I jump above that 11 speed mark for whatever reason.
You said the Paradigm's a 12, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Paradigm
I also thought was a joke when it first came out because that point in the middle of the turn is so small for some reason on the stamp that they have for that disc. And so I saw it and I was like, negative 15 turn, because I'm pretty I think it came out around like April Fool's Day too. So it was oh, so they're just joking. Like, this is going to be the flippiest disc ever. And then it was like,
they have the tilt and the Paradigm. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I truly thought that's what we were trying to go for. And then it was, oh, no, it just, there's a point there. It's just a normal frisbee with a cool name.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. 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 I had to do a little shift myself. So, Brad, which of these discs would you say wins out in your mind?
I think the Mystere, and I know you're a disc mania guy. But I think the Mystere does, because I also like to recommend discs. I don't like a one use disc per se.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say the Mystere, like I started throwing it on some backhands because I'm like, I need to know what these are, how stable these actually are. Because again, me throwing a forehand with a disc is makes them seem a lot more overstable than they like probably actually are, just for my like form and release. But I threw both of them, and like the Six Glide is no joke on this Mystere. Like it is no joke. Okay. So, if you're maybe even needing a longer dynasty, I think a Mystere probably can jump up and fill that role and give you something that you can start working on the smooth out forehand and even embrace your Anheuser a little bit or flat to Anheuser and get some more distance with your, I'd be surprised if you can't push out like 250 with a Mystere.
I will have to try that out for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think I played around with a Mystere years ago at Commonwealth Games. They had them in the players pack. It was a champion. I think it had just come out, and played around with it just a little bit. But yeah, I love the Halo, like the feel of the Halo plastic. So I will definitely have to try out the Halo Mystere.
Yeah. And that's some of it too. Like it feels a little gummier. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this Paradigm at all. It just, the Mystere definitely just wins in like a lot of categories for sure.
Yeah.
And hey, there's nothing wrong with trying some new plastic. You already throw some in anyway.
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, Gordon, we appreciate you coming on, man. If the people want to find you and your awesome dies, where can they find you?
So find me at RadDadDies on Instagram. I try to stay fairly active on like the Facebook Dyers page, the Dyers Guild page, things like that. But yeah, RadDadDies at Instagram. You can check out some of my work at the Foundation Shop, also online sometimes as well. And I'll be giving them another box of discs here in a little while. They're all dyed up, so keep a look out there. And then also check out Jets Therapy on YouTube. It's the if you like the New York Jets, if you like football, we talk all things Jets, and you know, it's a sad world being a Jets fan sometimes, but it's nice to have some people to talk it out with and hang out. So
awesome, man. Well, yeah. Hey, we appreciate you coming on. Appreciate all you do for Foundation and hey, the local scene too, Gordon. Battle for Bedford, if you ever heard of it. That's yes, Gordon. Yes. So we appreciate you, Gordon. Thanks for coming on.
No problem. Guys, thank you again for having me, and was a blast.
Brad, it's fun. The more we do this, I mean, 56 episodes in at least, and we are moving and grooving. I think one of my favorite moments that happened in that episode is just the synergy that we have. And he talked about his, I'm trying to remember what disc it was. It was his, when he talked about his sensei, and I had like put him on the road to ask, so you have the sensei, but you also have a link that looks like it does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And then when he finished his statement on that, and you were like, so why do you choose that over the, it was phenomenal, dude.
It was good stuff. We're getting there. After 56 episodes, you start to vibe a little.
Yeah. So very much enjoy that. Gordon was a great listen. I will be 100% honest, and I don't know if he'll hear this in post or not. Like, I wonder how many people ever go back, guests we have, and listen to their episode. I personally, if I didn't make YouTube content, don't know that I could listen to myself for like a whole episode. That's a lot of me.
True.
And my voice. But I will be real. Gordon did not look anything like I thought he was going to look.
Really?
I thought he was going to be this like, I'll just go ahead and say, I thought he was going to be this like 250-pound dad, like looking like 50-year-old man. Here you go. Because when I hear rad dad dies, I'm like, okay.
Like he wears a skull cap, probably.
Yeah. Like he is very much hanging on to youth. But Gordon looked like a very cool individual.
He's a cool dude.
It was a pleasant chat.
And hey, if you're a 250-pound dad that wears a skull cap, you're cool too.
Whoa. Nobody's trying to throw a fit. I just literally, you were like, the more you talked about it, because we've talked about Gordon for a few weeks trying to get him on. And I just had this image in my head and he did not fit that image at all. Super great. Speaking of great things, we want to thank the sponsor of What's New in the Warehouse, which is Heiser Disc Racks. Guys, I can't tell you how beautiful they are. They've been at my house for a couple weeks now, and my wife has never been happier with how the basement looks because things are either in a box or on a rack. Like, we don't have discs just floating around anymore, which is her dream.
Yeah, and I say this all the time, but like, one of my favorite things about disc golf is like a youth section or like people's collections, be able to like leaf through them. I come from the youth of growing up with like Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh and Magic cards and like all the collectibles and all the versions of everything. It's just fun to like look at the collection. I love doing the same for mine. And yeah, keeping it organized on a piece of furniture, not just like a piece of random metal, a piece of furniture that's going to last, is just a great way to go. So thank you, Heiser Disc Racks, for that. Link will be in the description. Make sure you check them out. Right now they have some like their version of factory seconds right now that are still beautiful pieces of great furniture. I mean, this is the quality that they like uphold, but you can barely tell there's anything wrong with them, but he just does not want to send them out. Maybe there's like a weird knot in the wood or something like that. But if you want to get a hold of them, you're like, hey, maybe the budget's a little tight, but that might make them very affordable for you. And trust me, it is worth the investment. It is an investment. They are not cheap, but sometimes you buy once and you make sure that it's going to last you for a long time, and that's one of those products. So thank you, Heiser Disc Racks.
Like you truly can. I'm like asking questions myself of when I get more. It's not an if, when I get more, because I don't know why I would want to store my discs on anything else for display and things like that. I'm like, ooh, am I gonna go five? Because I know where my next set is going, and I'm like, I could probably go five high instead of four high. And it would still be fantastic. So it's so beautiful. And the knots, I love when people have a piece of wood that has like a beautiful like knot in it that you got to work around, things like that. So I might request for my next one, like, I don't know, like, I know that they're factory seconds to you, but
for
the
us.
More knots, the better. I am here for it.
Absolutely. So yeah, thank you, Heiser Disc Racks. Check them out in the description below. And hey, when you're, after you get your Heiser rack, you're going to need to fill it up. And we're going to fill it up with
what's new
in the warehouse at foundationdisc.com. So, hey, this time of year, there's not a whole lot of disc dropping going around. So let's just be honest.
Yeah.
However, We got some fire hitting. If you're listening to this, there are some Discraft Factory Store exclusives that are going up. So we have some like Get Sneaky Vultures and Z Jawbreaker, which, hello, those are amazing. Connor gave me one for our disc swap here at the office for Christmas, and I'm loving it. I'm really loving it. There's some Brody Metallic Roaches, which are one of Brody's favorite approach discs. He loves that run. Brody Roach Putters. We have Dark Horse Nuco S's, Avenger, ESP Avenger SS's, Brody Avenger, ESP Buzzes. We also have some Yuli stamp stuff. We have Yuli's Crystal Zone and Yuli Crystal Raptors. We also have some Nukes Baby Mini Nukes and some Mini Get Freakies and some Mini Proto Lunas. So those are all going to be going up. We're continually getting all the Innova and MVP up on the site. So the new molds are going up all the time on those. So make sure you check that out. And we're also going to be putting up some other Discraft Factory Store stuff. I don't know if it'll be up for this Friday, but it'll definitely be up for next Friday.
Come on.
If you haven't gotten the subscription box,
it's so good.
Now's the time to jump on. Robbie did his unboxing. We sent his out last week or this week, actually. And solid box, right, Robbie?
I just go ahead. I'm taking over right now, guys, because here's the deal. This box was so good. So good. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep this completely unbiased here. You have the F7, which is a disc very similar. I think people hear the F7 and they think it's going to be like a roller automatically. Mm-hmm. But my understanding of the F7 is that it's very close to a Sting and an It and things like that. Like it is flippy, but not unusable. And they have these rippets. Like Lindsay saw this F7, and Lindsay is not the person to throw an F7. And she just about pulled it and put it straight in her bag because it has this beautiful little holiday frog on it. It says Hoppy Holidays. So good. And then I had a Zone OS. So I went like flippy, other end of the spectrum, but I had this beautiful swirly, like X line. Is that what they're called?
I think it's swirly, like soft putter blend.
Okay. Yeah. So that's, it was this, it's so beautiful. So beautiful. It has this graffiti Discraft stamp on it. I mean, if Discraft doesn't sell that shirt, fools. Like, I think they could easily have just like, pick your pro, put their logo here, and then Discraft on the back, make them made to order. People should buy those like crazy. So already sick there. And then, here's where the unbiased part comes in. I dislike the Leopard 3 with a passion. It just doesn't work for me. This Leopard 3 is one of the most beautiful Halo discs with one of the coolest custom foundation stamps I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, because y'all have made a lot of custom stamps with the foundation logo. And literally, I looked at this Leopard 3 and was like, am I a Leopard 3 guy? Like, this disc is so beautiful that I could be flipped.
Yeah, so that may be what's replacing my Jackalope spoilers.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like a Halo Leopard 3, going to have some stability to it while also not being so overstable as well. That's phenomenal choice. Yeah. So,
and there's a swag item in there. And hey, there's a little Christmas card from us. It's a good box.
Great box.
Make sure you jump on. Hey, it's not too late to ask for that for Christmas when you're hearing this. It may not get to you by Christmas, but it's a gift that keeps on giving, like the Jelly of the Month Club, right?
Yeah. Hey, great gift, Clark. Great gift.
All right. Well, hey, I just want to say have a Merry Christmas to everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We'll see you all after Christmas. And we're just very grateful for all of you. Thank you for all the support that you give us. And that never leaves our mind. We're very grateful. So hope you all have the best Christmas that you can possibly have. And, you know, if you're at Christmas, you're by the Christmas tree and you get a circular shaped little present, you unwrap it and you're like, hey, this is great. Where's it going, Robbie?
Hi, it's going straight in the bag.
We'll see y'all next week. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.